What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. I have some sad news. A lot of you guys probably already have heard via Twitter or other means. A friend of mine and a former guest on Kinda Neat passed away this weekend, and it's really hard. It's really sad to hear about, but Cadillac Ron, who's a friend of the show and just a friend in general, passed away this weekend. I heard about it on Sunday morning. So, you know, it's really shitty. I feel horrible for his loved ones. And, I mean, I just feel horrible that I'm not going to see the dude around anymore. It's like very, it's hard to comprehend. And you know, he was the third guest that we ever had on the show. And, you know, just in my thought process at the time to go back, it was like we were just starting this, and I wanted to show that we could have some access to things and to cool people. And so I was like, oh, you know, I always wanted to do a podcast with Baths, and that was the first guest we reached out to, and we were lucky enough to get him on. And then I figured a good second place to start would be Chuck English, and like talk about all his history and how he's kind of this gateway to LA dude. And those guys are both real cool, but I just knew in my heart of hearts that like Cadillac Ron had this amazing story that people hadn't heard yet. And at the time he was clean and sober, and it was this great redemption story because he had his demons that he talked about on the show. You guys can go back and hear for yourself, but we ended up talking for nearly 2 hours, and we split up that episode into two episodes just because it was so fucking intriguing. And, you know, Caddy was a talented dude, and Caddy was a troubled dude who struggled with drugs throughout his whole life and was in and out of jail a lot. And he talked about that. And at the time, I can't remember how many months sober he was, but I feel like he was almost a year sober at the time. And, you know, unfortunately, in years after that, he started going viral for like a lot of the wrong reasons. You guys have probably seen his battle where he shot up he put a syringe in his wrist as he was battling, and went viral for that. And you know, his drug use was widely known and infamous on the internet, and it was sad to watch during those years as he was going viral for that shit. You know, I lost contact with him. He kept texting, or I mean, we remained in loose contact, but I'm not going to lie. Like I started ignoring texts because they seemed sporadic, and you know, just from what I've heard or read in how you're supposed to deal with people that are having drug abuse problems is like, you know, put your foot down and don't let them in your life or something. And, you know, in hindsight, that fucking feels shitty now, because like his last text he sent me, I fucking ignored it, and I feel like a piece of shit for that. And yeah, man, you know, It's just tough. I met Caddy almost fucking 10 years ago. Like when I first moved to LA, he used to throw shows out of a place called Club Trip. And, it's a place in Santa Monica. It's just like this little random bar, but he would throw these underground events there, and they were fun. And that was like a peak time in our little scene when all of my fucking friends were still my friends, and all these rappers that I've known for, you know, 12, 13 years, we were all still trying to like do this thing together. And as you grow up and you grow older, people, you know, distance, people distance themselves from each other or whatever. But you know, Caddy was naturally a dude that seemed like that brought people together to this weird fucking place in Santa Monica. The first time I ever performed a song of mine called Al Bundy, that was at an event that Caddy, well, that we threw at Club Trip. And I think Kale threw the event, but Kale knew about the spot because of Caddy Ron. And, you know, he became an infamous battler. And from his very first event, that he battled at. I remember it. I was at that. It was a fucking thing that Dumbfounded threw in Koreatown. That was probably my first time ever eating kimchi, I think, because I just was hungry and walked across the street to a place that had, you know, it just was, it, none of it was in English. And I just kind of said, give me a number five, I guess. And, but I remember, you know, out there chatting with him and then seeing him battle for the first time at an event. And he went on to become a really great battler. And, I don't know. It's just so sad. I'm not good at, you know, I don't really have the right words to say. I'm not like, I'm not someone who thrives at giving eulogies. I'm not a fucking deep and profound person about that shit. I just know that, like, the dude was always good to me. He was always really nice. He was somebody where you look at him and your first instinct might be to not trust him, but he was just always one of the kindest and nicest and a person that would just fucking look out for you regardless. He was loyal. Caddy was a loyal friend. And actually, the last time that I did see him, he was clean. He was clean and sober. And I saw him at a battle event in LA, at a event that Avocado and J Pro threw. And I don't think he was battling that day, but I just saw him in the crowd. And I went up to him. I'm like, hey, what's been up with you? You know? And he's like, oh, man, you know, I'm like 3 months clean again, or I might have been 3 weeks, 3 months. I don't know. It's like three months clean again. I was like, that's good, you know, because like I've only been seeing what's been going on the internet and it looks kind of crazy. He's like, to be honest, all that shit. He's like, I don't even remember it. Yeah. So the last time I saw him was like a positive, clean moment. He was lucid and there and so that's a good last memory to have of him. And then from there, you know, we talked about maybe doing another episode, but that's when like the text started getting more sporadic and from like different phone numbers and stuff. And so like an asshole, I fucking ignored him and just thought it was too much to deal with. Yeah, but like here's a story. One of the first pieces of video content I ever filmed with Dumbfounded was that the kick that went viral, the battle rap kick, right? And we're in the valley, out in front of some martial arts dojo place, and we're filming this kick, and it's all pretty choreographed, and it got down to the point where we're like, oh, maybe we should like create a Twitter timeline, because at the time people were like, yo, that is that shit real or fake? Is it real or fake? Is it real or fake? And we were trying to really make it seem like it was a real thing. So we're like, oh, maybe we should tweet out like, damn, some shit just went down at a battle. Wait till you see it. You know, like, damn, I can't believe these motherfuckers are tripping like that. Like all of us, me, Sat, Dumb, everybody that was there was tweeting this shit that was like kind of cryptic. Like, damn, I can't believe fools were tripping like that. Wait till you see what went down. Like such and such had to get handled. And you know, the funny part is that me and Dumbfounded both got texts from Cadillac Ron that said, hey, are you guys all right? You need me to come out there and help with anything? Like, do you need me to come? Basically, he's asking if anybody needs their ass whooped, because he was ready to come serve somebody. And I think that in and of itself is an analogy of the type of dude that he was. He's a stand up friend and he had your back. And you know, he went through some fucking hard times, and I'm not one to be able to fucking sit here and be like, oh, I did the most to help him, because now I'm looking back and I was a piece of shit and I fucking ignored his last text to me because I felt like, you know, that I shouldn't be a part of that struggle. And, you know, it's sad to see the homie go, man. And so rest in peace, Cadillac Ron. And, you know, my condolences to your family, friends, and loved ones, and to the battle community as a whole. With that being said, It is, today is episode number 98. We're getting close to 100. It's crazy. And we've had somebody, we had somebody on today that I've been interested in talking to for a long time, because I remember seeing his first videos when they were popping up on the internet way back in the day, and just thinking instantly that he was just like, wow, this is a talented ass kid. And particularly like at the time for how young he was, I was like, damn, he's really got some like interesting bars and interesting structures and just a dope voice. And I was like, this shit is something. And that was probably back in, that was like 2010, maybe, I don't know. Went on to be in Rat King and has been touring with that and has been putting out some solo stuff, including, a new record that he just put out called Little Me. It's like a mixtape, and, you can find that for free. But yeah, this week's guest is Wiki, Wiki from Rat King. And it was a dope conversation, man. He's just a good dude. Him and his whole team, they seem like cool cats, and, fucking murdered the video. Excited to put that out. So without further ado, this is my interview with Wiki. How much longer are you out here, man?
I'm out here till Thursday.
Till Thursday?
So, like, what does that mean? 4 days or
something? 4 more days, yeah. How much time do you spend in LA? You spend a lot of time here?
I mean, in the past year, I've come out here probably like 4 times or something, yeah. 3 or 4 times.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's always nice to get out of New York. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like weather-wise or just even the vibe. Just like,
oh, you just missed like the huge snowstorm too, huh?
I know, I did. I was mad, though.
Oh, you like the snow?
Yeah, I like the, I mean, if it's going to be cold, at least make it snow. You know?
I feel the same way. I feel almost like when it's cold but there's snow on the ground, it actually feels a little warmer because, like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you see the snow and you feel like you're supposed to be cold.
Yeah, when it's just like
Yeah, you know, sometimes it gets like 40 degrees, but it'll be like sunny out and it just feels way colder because of that. Because you're like, you're looking outside and it's supposed to feel warm, but it's cold as fuck.
Yeah, I see.
Whereas if there's snow on the ground, all of a sudden, like, I'd be like, oh, this shit's tight.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you were born and raised in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, where? What part of New York are you from?
I'm from the Upper West Side.
From the Upper West Side. I don't know shit
so
about
that's
New
like,
York.
Right. It's like.
So that's Manhattan.
It's
though,
like,
yeah?
Right. Yeah, it's okay. Manhattan. So it's just like. You don't know shit. Oh, shit.
I've been to New York a couple times.
No,
as an
I know
adult.
It's just like, yeah. I don't really know the neighborhoods out here. As
right,
well. Yeah,
totally.
I know certain things, but not really.
Yeah. What's the neighborhood about?
It's like a really like Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah. You Jewish?
No, I'm not.
What are you?
I'm Puerto Rican and Irish.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say you look mad ambiguous. Yeah, out here you could be anything.
Yeah, my dad, it's crazy. I just got a haircut too. So when I have my beard, it's mad red.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So I be looking mad Irish, but then I shit like because it gets red. I don't know. I'm all over the place, but yeah, nah.
But your hair's all curly too. Probably.
Yeah, it's curly. So it's a mix, but that's like definitely an important thing in New York, I think. It's just like.
Yeah.
The mutt, being a mutt.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, which side is Puerto Rican and which side's Irish?
My dad's side's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And my mom's Irish, and she's a little Italian, too, but she's like a quarter, so I'm like an eighth, you know?
Yeah, hey, I'm a quarter Italian as well. Like, fucking familiar.
Yeah, I see.
But that's cool. How did your folks meet? Just being
in
New York?
I think a friend introduced them or something. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, were they both from the Upper West Side too, or is that just where you guys have ended up?
Nah, my mom, she grew up in Westchester, like right outside, right above the Bronx. Like,
okay.
And I'm pretty sure New Rochelle at the time.
Uh-huh.
And Mount Vernon maybe a little bit. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
We're in Westchester, but yeah, her family, like her family was from New York though. Her family was like from the city, and then my dad was from Puerto Rico, and then he came to New York, so.
Oh, so he's like he's like first generation.
Yeah, yeah. His parents came here, actually.
Yeah.
To New York,
yeah.
And then they came back to Puerto Rico, and then.
And he stayed.
His parents came here before they had him.
Oh, okay,
and then
okay.
They came back, had kids and shit.
Oh, okay, okay.
PR, and then he went. So, yeah, he is, like, they came for a little bit, but, I mean, it's like Puerto Rico to New York. It's like, there's already that.
Right.
Connection, you know?
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
There's more Puerto Ricans in New York than there are in Puerto Rico.
No shit.
Yeah, it's a fact.
That's crazy. You know, out here in LA, this is the second biggest Korean population in the world outside of Seoul. Like, there's the most
it's
Koreans.
Like one of those type of facts. That's just like.
Yeah, that's tight. Did you grow up speaking Spanish too?
Nah, I didn't. My I'm still mad at my dad to this day.
Was it something where he was like, "Nah, I'm trying to fucking integrate into society, so you can't learn Spanish"?
It was more like he worked a lot more.
Yeah,
and like, it's not like he wasn't around or anything. He always was, but he just worked all the time. And my mom didn't speak Spanish, mm-hmm. so it wasn't something where they could like speak together type shit. Right. So, but like, he should have just made a little bit of you know what I mean? Yeah, like, he said certain things. He says it to this day. He's like, "Damn, man, like." Because then you see, like, my cousins or, like, you know, family, friends that are, like, bilingual growing up, and it's just, like, so much more lit.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? It's, like, an obvious, like, benefit. Like,
right, no, totally. Particularly just in, like, the modern fucking culture and economy, it's just helpful to know two languages and shit.
For sure.
So what did your dad do if he was working all the time?
He was a lawyer, like, financial lawyer.
Oh, shit. Where did he go to school at? Like,
He went to Yale, my dad, actually.
Get out.
Yeah.
Damn, your fucking dad is hella smart.
Yeah.
That's
tight. Yeah,
what did your mom do?
My mom was, like, she's, a therapist. Like a social worker.
Oh, cool, yeah. man. Yeah, so she's got like a, does she have like a master's in sociology or something?
I'm not sure what all her degrees.
Sorry,
my bad. No. I don't know about all the degrees.
I find people's
Upper
education.
West is like a really nice neighborhood. You know, it's like always been a pretty nice neighborhood.
That's dope.
I come from like a good, like, middle class background, you know?
Yeah. Did your, my mom is like kind of involved in psychology stuff too, like she was a counselor. She got a master's in elementary school counseling, and I always tell people that like that made her we had like interesting punishments growing up because like she would try to do like psycho mumbo jumbo on us. Did your mom ever do some shit like that?
I don't think so. She wasn't on that level, you know?
What you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older brother.
How much older?
He's like 4 years older than me.
Yes. Oh, so you had like that benefit too of having like a cool older brother to put you on to shit.
Yeah, I did. I think my older brother and me are mad different, you know?
What's he into?
He's like more into like video. We used to fight all the time. Now we're cool because we're older and we're like, all right, this is stupid.
And you're probably not around each other as much.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother and I are the same way. I'm 4 years older than him. We fought like.
Yeah, but he's just more into like video games and like real intellectual, like, not that I'm not in a way, but like just really serious and like I'm definitely more on like the
so you're more
side.
The social dude, like,
totally.
You're
he's
out
mad,
and about
like
he's very introverted, maybe
definitely.
Yeah, were you always kind of introverted?
Yeah, I mean, I can be shy at first, but whenever I get to know someone, it's like I won't stop talking to
you. As a kid, were you like kind of out there as far as like could, like, in hindsight, you think your parents like, oh yeah, you were always a performer?
Yeah, dude. I think honestly, because I was always like mad into like Broadway plays and shit when I was young.
No shit. Did you get to go to Broadway plays?
Yeah, I went to a few when I was young. Like my aunt Donna brought me to a few. My aunt Donna, but also she would do these plays. Like we would do. You know, I came from like a kind of quirky like family. They were like into like putting on plays for the family and shit.
That's tight. So you have like some artistry that runs in your blood.
Yeah, but it was more like that's the thing. Another thing is that my parents weren't artists, mm-hmm. and I think that's something that I like because it was like I've grown up in New York, and especially being like where I'm from in New York, and like also chilling downtown, like a lot of my friends, like their parents were artists, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like they have this kind of like it's an upper hand, but then it's like then it's like I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like it's good.
Well, since they're not artists,
like, they can be overcritical, or they could be like all these things where it's like. Or it's like they have this like kind of upper hand in a way, kind of, you know what I mean?
But then
it was kind of I like to not necessarily have that, so I can kind of like go do be I could be the artist. You know
well,
what I mean?
Was gonna say like when you have parents that are kind of straight, then your rebellion can be art. You know what
exactly.
I mean? But if you have parents that are artists, your rebellion might be to be straight. You know what I'm saying?
And not
be an artist.
For sure.
Like, oh, my parents were so weird, and now I'm an accountant. You feel me?
And then there's that whole like. If your parent in New York, you know, if your parents like a successful artist, it's like, then there's the whole like, oh shit, like you know what I mean? If you're like the son of some ill artist, then it's like, you have to out. That's like a whole nother pressure. That's
right.
Makes you harder, you
right?
Because I mean?
Then
right,
any art you make is getting either compared to theirs, but also people are going like, oh, they only have a name because of their parents.
So it's like a lot. It could be a lot of those things for sure.
You're getting to build your own name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's tight. So tell me about. Okay, so I, for context, I grew up in a fucking tiny ass town. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up in a town that only have 4,000 people in it, right? And so I dreamed as a kid of growing up in New York. And so whenever I talk to people that grew up in New York, I like to ask them what their experience growing up in New York was like. And I know you're a fucking young dude yourself, but if you go back and like think about your childhood, like, what are some interesting things that people from outside of New York might not know about growing up in New York? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's just mad. Like, it's like in New York, like, once you get to a certain age,
mm-hmm.
like, now you're like, it's not like you're take, whereas I think in another place, maybe it's always hard. And when people ask this question, it's good how you put it, because it's different than saying, people always say, what's different about New York? I'm like, right. I don't know, because that's all you knew.
Yeah. Me, right.
But I see you, and it's like, when you start driving, like when you're 16 or something, right. So it's like every,
well, like 14, you know?
Yeah, I guess, but then
you,
it's
probably
like,
never
then,
even drove, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how to drive at all.
Yeah.
But it's like, so that's like even one thing. But like, the moment you're able to ride the train on your own when you're like in whatever, like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Yeah, like 10, 11,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, and then you're like, all right. Now we could, and now it's like, you're like, yo, the whole city is really so that, a domain.
And that's like the revelation that I like really am interested in, because I feel like, knowing that you're able to go wherever you want to go in this fucking giant city by the time you're 10, like, that's amazing. And you might not realize that having grown up there, but like, so at that age, when you realize like, fuck, I can go wherever, where did you go? What did you do?
I probably went, like, I remember just going downtown just because I was, like, uptown.
Yeah.
Because that's more, like, the center of, like, all the, like, art and all that type mm-hmm. of stuff. Whereas...
What is downtown New York? What is it about? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's about a lot of different things. It's kind of hard to put your finger on. You know what I mean? Because it's just,
no,
like,
absolutely.
That's, like, the downtown New York, if you come to, like, the history of it, like, that's New York. Like, that was, like, New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was the city.
So, like,
so,
is
like,
downtown,
like,
is that where, like, Wall Street is and Broadway and all that shit? I don't even know. Yeah.
Broadway goes, that's the thing about Broadway. Yeah. Broadway goes all the way.
Yeah.
It goes from top to bottom. You know what I mean? So, that's, like, a little bit different. That's, like, the main street. But then, Wall Street's down there. But then also, then it's, like, Soho. That's, like, the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
That's the East Village. That's the... And West Village, Greenwich Village, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Chinatown.
Are those all kinds of, like, artsy places, like Soho and West Village
it's
and
all
East
kind
Village?
Of artsy, now, especially now. Chinatown is one place that's kind of, like, can stay downtown
uh-huh.
and not really get, like, messed with as much, because, like, the Chinese are really good about holding down their neighborhoods.
Being kind of,
you know,
insular.
I mean? Exactly. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, but... Yeah, just going downtown and discovering shit, going into Brooklyn.
What would you do when you're downtown as, like, a fucking little kid just discovering the city?
Yeah, I mean, you do just walk around, like, do stupid, like, literally mess. That's the thing, like, and also in the city, like, you don't know, like, you said you're from a small town. You don't know...
anybody.
You don't know any... You could go in Midtown and just make a fool of yourself, scream at people.
Because no one will ever hear about
it. And then it's like... That's it. You know what I mean? So
that's
like the type of shit I was doing before I was like actually like smoking or just fucking around and just kind of causing mischief and running around.
Did you have like a little group of friends you would go out with?
Yeah. I had my like group of friends, just like my homie. I've gone through so many groups of friends over the years. Like,
yeah.
Not that I have people that I'm still friends with in all those groups, but mm-hmm. I'm saying like just always, especially in the city and just like meeting so many different people, you like go through all these things, but it's like all these phases and shit, but... definitely, being like, it's almost like there's so many people, but you're alone because there's not, you don't
that's
know
a,
everyone, you know
that's
what I mean?
A really,
like,
that's a really interesting thing about the city is that, there are so many people that do you feel even more lonely because, like...
You can feel that way.
Like,
you
have to become your own island almost.
Yeah,
like,
you can feel that way, definitely. It's like, it's a feeling that, I see you because...
Were you lonely or did you have like a lot of people that you were with always?
I'm the lonely, I get lonely. So I was always around people. I always am the type that I want my friends, you know
what
I mean?
To fight the loneliness.
Yeah, I always wanted my friends around. Like I remember like on the weekend being at my crib when I was young and I was just like, when it was still like play date era, like it was like you had to set the shit up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, just like feeling like bummed. And I was like, but then once you were able to like... Just do whatever you know. I was like always around. I would like on the weekend stay at my friend's house all every day. You know what I mean? Because just like getting out. Or whatever, And then later on, I started like chilling more back in my house crib and shit.
Like, you know, here's the thing: is like little shit, just like living in a tall building, you know what I mean? Like, did you live in a walk-up? Did you live in
the Upper West Side has, like, these kind of, like, old, like, pre-war, I don't even know what the fuck war, which war is.
Right, I don't even know.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, these, like, old, nice, like, dormant, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's, like, old, it's, like, not, like, some huge high-rise, but right. It's, like, 13 floors, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. How high up did you live?
I lived on, like, the 11th floor.
Yeah. Did you always have to take the stairs?
No.
You guys got
elevator. The elevator.
That's
elevator,
tight.
Bro.
Okay, yeah,
the
yeah.
Elevators.
Gotta have the elevator.
Hey. 11 floors, man?
Yeah. No,
that's
I know.
Crazy.
That's the last time that...
Walk-up's even, like, I think it's even a law, like, it can only be, like, 7 floors or something without an elevator.
That's funny. Okay, so the last time I was in New York as an adult was, like, maybe, like, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was staying in the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
And the girl I was staying with had a fucking walk-up, and she lived on the 7th floor. And, like, after walking around the whole fucking day and then having to walk up those stairs, I was like, how do people live in New York? This shit is crazy.
Yeah,
well, her place was so tiny, though, too. Like, how was you guys' spot? Like, you guys had it's like an apartment, yeah? And
yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Couple bedrooms, 3 bedrooms or something? Like, what?
Oh, yeah, well, I moved around to a few spots in Upper West.
Yeah.
But it were all kind of a similar type of vibe. Like, it was, like, yeah, like a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Like, at my dad's, it was, like, a 2-bedroom, and my mom was a 3-bedroom, I think.
Were your parents ever married?
Oh, my parents were, yeah.
Yeah. What age were you when they split up?
I was in, I don't know the age, the grade.
Roughly.
I was in, second, third grade or something, so I was probably, like...
7, 8, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
How was that? Was that a hard conversation to have?
Like, the conversation, I remember crying, but then after that, I didn't really... I thought it was, like, better. Like, I kind of learned... I think my brother took it harder than me, honestly, but for me, because he was older or something.
Yeah.
For me, I kind of then, like, got used to it. It was, like, maybe in the beginning I felt weird, but...
That's interesting that you say better
parents,
off, though. Because you know what I mean? Like, I think, like, maybe a lot of the times it is better off.
Yeah, but also I was lucky. I was mad lucky because my parents were still tight.
Like, they were cool?
Exactly. My dad would go to my mom's Christmas and Thanksgiving till, like, a couple of years ago.
They kept the G.
Because my dad just got remarried. But
yeah.
Before that, it was like, yeah, he was, like, part of the family. You know what I mean? So
that's cool.
That made it a lot easier. So
yeah.
It was almost like... having 2 apartments or something, rather
right.
than like, you know what I mean? Of
it
course,
sounds,
it was weird when they would chill together. They would always have that little awkwardness, but
yeah.
It was cool, man.
But it sounds like they kept it like real adult about it and like,
yeah,
you know, kept
yeah.
it cool in front of you guys.
Definitely.
So, did mom remarry too or just dad?
Nah, just my dad.
Yeah, so did you spend most of the time staying at mom's house or was it like 50-50?
Yeah, I went through a period where it was like, there was a period where I was staying at my dad's a lot.
Yeah. Was that because you and your mom are arguing or just because?
Just because, like, you know, it's like at a certain age, it's your dad's crib and it's like, oh, it's mad chill.
You
like,
can get away with more shit.
Exactly, totally. Mm. So there's that. And then that was kind of that. And then I think at one point my mom was moving around, didn't know exactly. Like, I think she was maybe in a temporary place or something,
mm-hmm,
a one bedroom or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was staying at my dad's and then she got a new spot.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, during that high school period, I was with my dad, but then I went and just then for a couple of years, my dad moved out and he got a new girl and I like her now.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I didn't have
yeah,
to say,
yeah,
I'm
right.
fucking wilding out right
no,
now.
No, I feel you.
No, but like, so I was just kind of, then I started staying with my mom and then I had a girl.
Yeah.
And like, we would just stay at my mom's all the time. And that's when I was saying how like, I used to always be out, but then I was like chilling at my mom's kind of like
yeah.
settled and posted at the mom's crib, you know,
right.
for like at least 3 years, you know? So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then my mom recently moved into a 1-bedroom. So I had to move out.
Yeah.
And I recently moved into my own apartment.
You got your own spot now.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's nice.
Dude, is it hard living? I mean, it feels like it's hard to fucking pay rent there, dude. Everything's
it
so,
is. It is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Are you getting, like, so that's a question. Like, being that you're born and raised there, do you feel like, ever feel like, oh, man, I'm getting, like, priced out of my own neighborhood or some shit?
I mean, I know a lot of homies that, yeah, they do feel that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for me and on the Upper West, it's a little bit different
mm-hmm.
than, like, I was talking about downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, and uptown, above the Upper West, and Harlem, all that,
yeah.
they're going ham, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I definitely have a lot of homies that, like, are either going through that, went through that, or feel
yeah.
that, you know what I mean,
yeah.
completely, like, and feel really strongly about that, for
right.
sure.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, you're a pretty young dude. I've had some like older fools that have been on that are like born and bred in New York, and asked them about like the gentrification of New York and how the city's changed. Because I have some homies that grew up in like the real early '80s in New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, the city's like fucking crazy. It's like bullshit compared to how it used to be." But you noticed that change even in your lifetime of shit kind of getting?
Oh, most definitely.
Different?
My neighborhood. Yeah, and you know what? I felt it too. It's not necessarily getting priced out of my own house, but definitely the Upper West is crazy how much, like, my whole, like, on my block, I remember on Broadway, it was, like, the pizza spot.
Yeah.
The candy shop, the, like, you know what I mean? It's all the, like, classic essentials.
They're gone.
And they just shut it all down and then, like, built a fucking condo there or some shit, but it was just, like... That was when it's like, not that, that's like a stereotypical thing, like, oh, they built it, but it's like, it was almost crazy because I was like, yo, this is so like out of the book, like, oh, the pizza spot, this spot, this spot, this spot, all the, and then it's just boom, condo, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
All in one failed soup. Wasn't like, oh, that store closed, damn, like, store's closed, you know?
Right, like, they you're just watching your block become a cliche, kind of.
Yeah, exactly, so it's crazy.
That is crazy, that sucks, man.
Yeah. But now I live in Chinatown now, so.
Yeah, how's that?
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I live with all my friends, you know.
Oh, cool.
And it's like a nice spot, and it's not, the rent isn't too high.
Yeah.
So it's good.
What kind of school did you go to as a kid?
I went to a Episcopalian school.
Yeah. So it was like a private school.
Yeah.
How was that? Did you have to wear a uniform?
Yeah, I wore a uniform.
Did you rebel against that? How were you? Were you like Fresh Prince? Were you like freaked it a little bit on your own or what?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
Was it strict?
They were strict. They weren't too strict.
Yeah.
I mean, they were kind of strict, honestly. They were kind of assholes.
Right.
But it was like this big cathedral. It's this cathedral on 110th. It's like, that's where I went to school. But then, and that's where I met Hawk, too.
Oh, okay.
Hacking, too.
So you guys went to elementary school together?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I went to Brooklyn Friends.
What's that?
Which is a Quaker school.
A Quaker
school?
But
it's not a Quaker. Like, it's like, it just happens to be a Quaker. Well, not it doesn't happen. They have the Quaker values, but Quakers are mad. I don't know if you know about Quakers.
I mean, I know about Quaker Romeo.
Yeah, see, you don't know about Quakers. Quakers, all they believe is, like, they're the chillest. Like, they believe in, like, everyone is equal. How they practice, they all sit in silence. And if you, like, want to say something, you just stand up and say something.
Uh-huh.
So it's not really, like, it's like they're mad chill. They were they were chiller than the other school. You know
so
what
it's
mean?
Not what I picture in my head of, like, an Amish person.
Nah, you don't have to wear no, like, it's the opposite, really. It's like... You kind of grouped them with like Puritans or something.
That's not what it is.
Like,
how'd you guys even find out about this Quaker school? Is that like a big school?
It's just a school. It's like, that's what I'm saying. No, none of the kids that go there
are Quakers.
None of the kids. I think one of the kids in the four out of all
grades
was Quaker. You know what I mean? So it's not a thing where it's just like on the East Coast, they have like, I think maybe more on the East Coast, they have like in Pennsylvania, they have Mac, because that's where the Quakers,
that's where the Quakers are from.
Right.
Yeah. So, oh, that's crazy.
But so there's a lot. There's another one in Manhattan that's kind of like a sister school, Friends Seminary. So it's like this. You know what I mean? But
what's the overall vibe of your school? Like, how would other high schools view your kid? They'd be like, oh, that school is this school. Like, were you guys the artsy school? Were you the fucking.
You were kind of in between.
Yeah.
Like, I went to. Like, it was like there's a bunch of schools in downtown Brooklyn that were kind of like little rivals.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Like these three kind of, I think, for like Packer. I don't really know. I didn't really chill too much at my school, really.
Right.
At the time. But yeah, I mean, it was like a good school, you know, but it wasn't like the best, like the most prestigious school ever. But it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
it was like probably the more prestigious schools would be like, oh, that school is not lit, but then really it was. You know what I'm saying?
Totally,
just because they were dicks. But.
Yeah. Well, so I feel like maybe you gave a hint of this a second ago, but like, how did you like school? It sounds like maybe you skipped a lot.
Oh, no.
You're about it?
Oh, my bad. I meant I didn't necessarily chill. I wasn't involved in like the politics.
Extracurricular
what school,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So what, I did not. I was good in school. I did that well.
Cool.
Like, I didn't do math. I did pretty well,
What was your subject? Are you more of a math dude or a writing dude?
History.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Shit.
Hey, that's a solid fucking subject to be good at.
I was good at writing too, but I wasn't in the like good writing class because like I it was just like that shit was mad work, you know?
Right.
But
so history was your shit.
History is my shit.
You still do you read for leisure nowadays? Like, do you educate yourself in your free time?
I do.
Yeah.
I need to a lot more. Like, I haven't read a a book in a while. The last one I did was this book, Midnight Children, and I was like rereading it from high school because I like didn't really read it all and at all. I don't think I read it in high school, so I was like,
yeah,
let me read this.
Yeah,
but yeah, I need to get on that more because I feel like I'm like, whether it's like your vocab or just ideas or just like everything, you know, you want to like keep your mind stimulated and shit.
I'll say like back when I was your age, but no, like around that time of my life when I finally realized like I didn't have college work anymore. Like I was just getting out. And so I was like, oh wait, like this is the first time in my life I can read whatever the fuck I want. And I got time to do it. And it was tight. Like I got to read a lot of shit that still affects my mentality to this day. That was me interjecting personal shit that I don't need to do. Go ahead.
Nah, I see you, bro.
Okay, so here's the thing is that generally in these interviews, I try to stay away from like music life stuff, but you're so young and I've found out about your music years ago. Like I think the first time I saw like the Wiki Speaks video must have been in like what, 2011?
Yeah, I think it was 2011.
Because I saw, it might have even been 2010, because here's the thing is I saw Wiki Speaks, that video. And in my head, it was still a time where, like, being a YouTube rapper was a whack thing. And I remember seeing that video and going, like, damn, this shit is tight. Like, he doesn't seem like a YouTube rapper. He seems this is a video on YouTube, but it doesn't seem like some YouTube rap shit. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, and I mean, you must have only been, like, 16 or 17 at the time, maybe.
I think I was, like, 17.
Right? So all that is to say that, like, I generally stay away from asking about music shit, but you've been probably pursuing music for, like, a lot of your life at this point.
Yeah,
like probably half of it almost.
Nah, I see you. Yeah, nah. That's something that's, like, that's just as personal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I see you. Like, since
you've been living that.
And that's the thing, in high school I did well, but I knew, I was like, yo, if I don't have the choice to fucking be, I didn't like school.
Right.
Like,
you couldn't wait for it to be over.
I couldn't wait for it to be over. I was good because like my parents wanted me to be good, and I'm not the most like, I don't give a fuck about everything. I'm like a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, so I did good, and certain things I cared about, and like if I care about a teacher, I'll care, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, they're cool to me, you know, but I didn't like school shit. Like, I like learning. I don't like school, though. You know what I mean? So I was like, I don't want to go. And it wasn't because I love making music, but I was like, once like I was like, I'm nice. I was like, yo, I'm not going to no fucking college.
So how does a young Wiki find out that he's nice? That's the real question. You know what I mean? Like, what age did that start?
I started rapping when I was like in like sixth grade. So I was like
11 or 12.
11 or 12, yeah. And like, then I didn't necessarily think I was good, but once I like got into high school and then like, cause it was like, then it was like a bigger group of people. Yeah. And then once I started going to more parties and like, I was there all high school. I wouldn't at the party, it would be like the biggest party with every kid in the city. You know what I mean? And it's like, I would just be in the cypher fucking tearing it down. Like,
that's how I knew. That was always the most fun.
Cause it was just like, and I knew I was good cause I knew I could write and things like that, but then that's how I knew I had the like performance, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because like, that's a whole other thing. You can write, you can have the ideas. I was more confident in that, but I was like, I always, in ciphers, it was all about like being louder, and I was loud. So I could be like, someone would be rapping, you're just like, they're rapping too long, you just start rapping right over them. You're just like, yo, you know what I mean? And like, that shit was so funny. You're rapping over like, you're in the hallway to get away from like the DJ that's playing some other shit, so you can like hear the instrumental coming off the phone or whatever it was, you know, beatbox, and it's just mad kids all sauce. You know what I mean? And it's like, I wasn't in high school parties. What I'm saying is, I wasn't like macking on girls and shit. I was really rapping,
right?
And shit.
In hindsight, that's some nerdy shit, but at the time, it was so lit. Tight. Yeah. Oh,
but
god,
it was like not that. It's like I was always. They were always like, oh, it's that little rapper kid. It's that little rapper kid.
Right.
So like, that all that shit was made me, I think, be like, damn, like, if you already made, like, Lil Rapper, like, you already see me and you, like, associate that. Like,
then you got something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Similarly, we're like a half generation apart in rap years. And so, similarly, like, my whole experience when I moved to California, I would start jumping in ciphers, and I knew that something was going good because like people would go like, hey, you go again. No, don't let that guy, you go again. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh shit, something's going right here. And like, I didn't know that ciphering was still a thing going on, but that you know what I'm saying?
That shit will never die.
Cause I've been doing it for so long now that like, I haven't ciphered in fucking 10 years. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's dope to hear that younger cats are still out there like figuring it out in a circle. You know what I mean? Like, that's dope.
It's crazy. Yeah. That's literally all they do. Well, I feel like rapping, in New York, it's like skating on the West Coast or some shit.
Yeah.
Like everyone just does it. Like, in, like I, a lot of my friends skate, but in New York, they're like, all right, those are like, they skate.
Yeah, and those
it's
are
not like everywhere. Everyone, like every one of my friends freestyles, no matter who you are. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You know
that's tight. Well, so, I mean, just hearing that story has got me amped up. Like, I'm reliving my childhood again. So, like, I want to hear the, like, the falling in love with rap music story, which is, like, can be cliche, but I feel like you probably have an interesting perspective on it. So tell me about young 11-year-old Wiki. What's he listening to that's like, I'm going to memorize this, or I'm going to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The shit that influenced you.
When I was, I always, that's the thing. When I was younger, I was always being, go through phases.
Yeah.
Phases. I was like, oh, now I'm into punk. Now I'm into hardcore. Now I'm into
hip-hop. Can see that in your music because it's an amalgamation of some styles, you know?
Yeah. And but then that's the thing. Then I realized at a certain point, I could just be me, you know what I mean? And then I was more, I didn't care about like how you dress or all that shit.
Right.
But hip-hop was the thing that like, you know what I mean? Like those other things had a huge influence on me and I love, but hip-hop was something that I was like, just like, I don't even know. It's like a whole, it's like a whole crazy transcendentalism experience or some shit with that.
Right.
That's like, you know what I mean? Like
it was your
like,
moment of realization of like,
exactly.
This is who I am.
Like, totally, totally. I don't know. Like, it's just, it was around the same time when I started rapping too.
Because
I was always liked hip hop. But then I like, once I like knew about, once
you're
I started
obsessed
listening,
with it.
Not to, and I guess it is the cliche. Once I like was listening to Illmatic and 36 Chambers and.
No, see,
that
that's
great.
Well, so that's crazy to me because. Because
before I liked it, but I was like, all right, this shit's cool. Yeah, yeah. This shit's tight. And I was really into it when I was really young, but like what was popping that now?
Yeah.
And then, and that's the thing. Then I like, it's kind of tight because I got to go through this weird. Whereas my boy, Bruno, my friend Bruno, and this is another thing, like his dad, he's an ill artist. My boy Bruno. His dad got his first album was Blueprint.
Oh,
and I'm
really?
Like, you lucky motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
If that was my like,
first album.
You know
album.
What I mean? It would have been over. Like,
right.
So he was like, so he, and he's like, he knows, and I can tell that's his first album. But for me, I was just kind of listening to whatever was out. So then once I like, I had to go back, I was like, all right, 36 Chambers, like,
I have a Illmatic, fucking.
You know what I mean?
I have a Cream tattoo. It says Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude.
So all that.
So,
and then, getting a reasonable doubt, and then I was like, oh, I don't like Jay-Z's older later shit though. Then getting older, realizing, wait, actually that shit is more simplified but more next, like Blueprint, you know what I mean?
So he's saying more with fewer words.
Exactly. So it's like just like from there, you know, it really started with those kind of like early 90s essentials, you know?
Well, that's so crazy to me because like that's when I grew up was the early 90s. So like that time that I was falling in love with hip hop as like a 12, 13 year old, that was what was out.
Yeah.
So like 36 Chambers is like one of my biggest influences. Illmatic is one of my biggest influences. Doggy Style, like Snoop Dogg's first record, like all that shit. And so it's so, I mean, dude, it fucking hypes me up to hear that like that shit's still affecting the next generation, you know what I mean? That's amazing.
And with like, especially with Ready to Die, like Biggie is kind of, it's like,
when
I was, now I look at it in a different perspective, but when I was growing up, it was like, that's king off top, like no question. You know what I mean? Like
right,
that's the one. Because of just everyone around me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and because, of course, because he's a fucking contender. That's why, but I'm saying.
Well, so before
it was like no question,
right?
You know
before
I mean?
Before you went back and did your history and like fell in love with all those records that are like considered the, you know, the standard like classics. Like, what was the shit that got you dabbling in it? Like, what I guess, you know, 10 years ago, what was the crack and rap that everybody was listening to? Was it like 50 and Luda and shit
50,
like that?
I came up on 50. OD.
Yeah.
That's actually, you know what? I'm not even gonna lie. I wanted to be a rapper since I was mad young.
Yeah,
like even before I even told anyone. You know what I mean? Really, but then I just got my confidence up or some shit. But
right,
dude, Get Rich or Die Trying. Like
that was the one.
Yeah,
I mean
that was the shit that you were like, oh, like this shit, like we shouldn't be listening to shit. Like it's just tight.
Yeah,
and it was so sick. And then like that along with like M too. You know what I mean? I remember like I had friends that are older than me. I remember being like mad young and someone just putting like Marshall Mathers. Like their earbuds in my ears and me just being like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Like,
it was so, he was so cracking when it came out, you know?
But 50, definitely 50. That was like.
Did that kind of take over the city at the time? Because like that
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, I bet.
Most definitely. I mean, at the same time, I was young, so I was like still kind of just like figuring it out, you know?
Right.
I didn't have my ear to the streets yet, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
When I was like 9 or some shit.
Right. So who was your source of info? Yeah, when you were 9. I didn't have my shit.
I had it when I was like,
yeah.
Once I hit 13, then it was.
That's the no, but that's the real age. 13 is the age that people figure out their music shit. I always say that. Ooh. 9 years old, you're starting to figure. Here's the difference. Like when I was 9, I was listening to fucking MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice. When I was 13, yeah, I was listening to fucking Nas and totally, Wu-Tang. Yeah. Like you figure it out. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Who is your plug as to like who's pumping those records into you? You know what I mean? Like who's telling you like, oh, you like this, man? You gotta go check out Illmatic then.
That's the thing, though. Those records will always be like.
Or was it the internet?
New York class. Nah, it was, I don't think it was the internet. It was my boy Rob, really. But,
yeah.
But he got it from just. He was only, 2 years? It's not like he was just like older
right,
dude. He was
like
3 years older than me. So it was just those records are always like if you're into hip hop in New York and you're coming up, you're like, you'll know those, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, those shits are kind of timeless in that way, like in the city at least. Whether if they're not everywhere else, I don't know.
Yeah.
But in the city, those records are like those. Are, you know
I,
th- what I, mean?
I think those have taken. I no, think those are like timeless. National. Totally, like, yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Like, amongst people that
those are the ones.
But he was, and then also though, can't lie. Like I had a teacher, Mr. G, who was just kind of like he was my advisor and shit in middle school.
Shout
and
out, Mr. G.
Yeah, shout out, Mr. G, because he was like he like put me onto a lot of shit. He was just like. Mad down to earth.
And he just saw it in
the Bronx. He was like he just, yeah, he was like really close with me and Hakeem. He was both our advisors.
Right.
So it's like, he saw something in us, you know what I mean? And like, he put me onto a lot because I was into hip hop.
So did you and Hawk kind of go on this like journey of discovering rap music together? Or was it kind of, you guys
Hawk
found out about it
Hawk
later?
Hawk wasn't really into hip hop back then.
Okay.
Hawk's more into hip hop now, I think, probably than he ever was. Like,
yeah.
I'm saying in the past, like couple years, because Hawk's kind of always been on his own thing, and that's why I think it was important to Rat King to have this thing that's not so in the headspace of like hip hop,
right?
Rap, like
you
where
guys...
Eric came up on hip hop and me. So back then, he we would mess around. That's what I'm saying. Everyone was freestyle, so we mess around in freestyle. But we were just really tight. More, we were just good friends. So
right.
Like, that's what then later on made it be like, yo, let's all work together. You're an artist, you know. Like he was more like on the poetry side, I think.
Right.
You know, and
then
I kind of tried to. Hone in on him to get.
This may be me projecting my own like personal biases and shit that I've seen in movies into what I think your story might be, but like I imagine you as like this little city rat kid. Like once you figure out like I fucking love rap music and I also know how to get around on the train. Are you like the kid that's like getting in with older people and figuring out how to sneak into the club and and watch shows and all that shit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't always. No, for sure. Like once I was in high school and I was like rapping and like that's where when I first like got the name Wiki, it was Lil Wiki first.
Yeah.
But the dude, my homie Aaron, he gave me that name when I was like mad young, like probably I was like probably 14 or some shit.
Yeah.
And then he was like I came and he like started that company, Anything. He helped start Supreme from the jump. Like, he just, like, is an OG, and it was always down to, like, help out the youth and help out everything. And, like, he, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to everything coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was just kind of rapping, and then he was like, yo, I like that. He was like, you're ill, but he was like, you got to rap. Like, you got to, like, be personal. Like, you got to be, he was like, you got to be on some weird shit. You a weirdo? Like, you got to be, like,
talk about
like,
your experience.
I see you, exactly. Yeah. Like, that was a turning point, but then, and because of that, though, he had a lot of plugs, so then he would be like, yo, get, you know what I mean? Like, yo, we're going to get Wiki to just freestyle at this club, like, one night.
Yeah.
And then just, like, put on a like, 90s instrumental and just rap to my, that's, like, before I learned about breath control, like, rap to my face fucking was about to explode, you know what I mean?
Like, where would you go? Would you be at, like, Santos or something? Or like what?
Where there's, like...
What rap shows would you be at?
What rap? Oh,
or you
what,
know what I'm saying? Like where? Like
you know, Santos, they crazy with the ideas, IDs. But like now, it's like I remember it was like, I think like the Jane Hotel was one time. It was like the Bowery Hotel, like just shit. Like I wasn't really going to clubs like that, like because I was about the free crib. I was about the the like crib party,
House party.
Or
shit.
Then there was these parties that were like the. The big warehouse, like Brooklyn parties, where like you would see every kid you knew and from every camp, fucking school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everywhere.
Yeah.
And then like, and then there was like, you know what I mean? So we were kind of more dependent. We back then I didn't care about what was going on in the clubs. Like if A-Ron was hitting me up, and like, yo, we let's do this. Of course, I was down, but it was like, and then in terms of shows, there was like a lot of tight, like DIY venues in Brooklyn where it was like all ages and shit. So that was like lucky for us, you know, to be able to see shit. Of course, but back then rappers weren't going to those shows. It wasn't like rap. Now more like you'll see, like we'll be playing those shows and shit.
Right.
But when I was coming up, it was less, but I did meet Despot mad early on.
You know what's funny is
I do.
Well, I mean, I don't know him personally, but I just know that he seems kind of like a fucking delegator of like this shit is cool. So I was gonna say like, at what point did fucking Despot co-sign you basically? Well, because I feel like that's a big look in New York.
This shit crazy. It's a funny story. He was opening up for the Islands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like there at this venue, and I was just like, yo, let me rap.
That must be what, like 2009?
Yeah. Wait, did he have a tour with them?
I feel like the Islands Despot
tour.
Like that was like 2009, maybe 2008, 2009. I don't know, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Oh, but it might have been 2000. It might have been before. I don't know. I was probably in like 10th grade. I was probably like 16 or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But I remember being like, yo, let me rap, and then he was like, oh, shit. Like, he was like, all right, fuck it. Like, I know Despot now. It's funny because I could just see him, seeing this kid and being like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But, like, then I rapped, and like, he was like, oh, tight, tight. And then I, like, look, then I didn't even know. That's the first time we met. It wasn't like now we were homies.
Right.
But then, like, a couple years later, then we became mad tight. And then it was like, from there, it was like, that's like the homie. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I don't, just
but
from.
But it's cool because we could always be like, yo, that time. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, probably, like, a year later when I started, like, getting a little bit older and started chilling. 2 years later, started chilling more around the older heads and shit. Right. So
it's so interesting because, like, you know, I've known about who Despot was since probably 2001.
When he was first, when they were
because,
trying to sign
well,
him.
Because,
shit, right?
Yeah, because I bought a fucking I bought the first Def Jux compilation tape, and he had a song on there that was ill. And I was like, who is this? And then to come to find out, like, he's like this little redheaded dude. I was like, it was very surprising to me because he sounds super New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like when
you
hear him. But it's interesting just from out here just to see like what a curator of talent and what a good. I mean, he's just like he's just on it with like picking talent throughout the years. He's always been good at spotting it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it makes sense that you would eventually get the co-sign.
Me on the shit early,
yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right. He seems mad early
yeah,
on
for
shit.
Sure, for sure.
So, when is the first time you get into a booth and record?
Oh, I think it was first time I actually was, like, in a real, like, I was with A-Ron, put me onto his homie, Cool Compete.
Oh, I know Cool Compete. I had one of his records. He's tight.
Yeah.
He's an art director or something, right?
Yeah. He does a lot. But, so, yeah, and it literally was one time, and I just went in there and just, like, got...
Oh, and it was at his place?
Yeah, it was like at his studio or something.
That's
like
so interesting.
And I was like, that was the first time I felt mad weird being in there.
Yeah.
I was just freestyling. I didn't even have anything written.
Oh, no
I was just
shit.
Fucking going.
Did you feel like eyes judging you or what? Like,
it was A-Ron. Like, A-Ron, I know A-Ron, so it was just like him. And then maybe I was a little nervous. But then after that, I mean, I wasn't really recording. Then I just did the Wiki New Writtens.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up on YouTube. Actually, I think they took them shits down, which kind of sucks. But I just like rapped over it, like two instrumentals.
Just like filmed yourself, or
yeah, just like my homie filmed me and I just rapped.
Yeah,
and then like there was a whole period once we like started actually recording again, where it was like learning how to be a good recording artist.
Because that's a whole different art form. People
top.
Don't realize that.
I'm still getting better at that, and it's like I think I'm actually now I'm like. Now I'm like, it's cool to be confident. You're like, I know what I need to do on the mic, like in the booth, like versus when a couple of years ago, you're just like, fuck, I don't, you're just like, I know what to rap. Like,
when you're first starting, you don't know the difference between this, you know what I'm saying?
You don't know
how far you're supposed to be from the mic.
Yeah, there's even the technical stuff, but then there's even just
finding your voice, literally and figuratively. I always talk about that, like finding your actual rap voice is maybe the hardest thing to do because most people start off and you're shouting on record.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally get a good pair of headphones or like a mixer and you realize like, oh, wait, I can like use my talking voice
and
sound way more effective over a beat.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, totally.
All that shit takes a long time to learn.
It's like, but then when do I want to
When,
and when do I want to become? And then when it's like, when
in a
it's
sense,
like
you don't
want to, you got to have your, like, you know what I mean? And then it's like, oh wait, do I do ad lib? Then there's a whole, then there's ad lib thing. And it's like, I ain't never done no ad libs before.
Right.
I feel mad awkward doing ad libs.
Like, I do too.
At first.
In a sense,
I'm like, give me a beer and I'm like, I'll do it.
In a sense, you have to learn to become a bit of an actor, because you need to like figure out each time that you write a song, you got to figure out, okay, like when I record it, what's my actual inspiration when I was writing this? Like, was it more kind of like, was there tension in my thoughts, so do I need to put tension in my voice, or was it relaxed and chill, you know what I'm saying?
Not
like,
for sure,
you gotta figure all that shit out. It takes a long time.
It's
you know, 10 years, 10,000 hours, blah 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 blah.
You know what I mean,
so you're feeling like you're getting, you're starting to feel that
I'm
now.
I'm starting to be a little bit more confident with that. You know, I'm like, all right, I know my techniques and I know what I need to do. And I'm like,
it's interesting to hear that, because I feel like for me, the outside looking in, I feel like you're such a natural talent at it. Because, like I said, the first time I saw the Wiki Speaks video, I went, "Oh shit!" Like, this kid.
We just recorded that shit on a mic.
What's the story about behind that video? Like, because it seems like maybe that was pretty pivotal. Like, a lot of people
that
video like went pretty viral, didn't it?
Like, yeah, that was like the first. That was the thing, I think.
Yeah,
that was like the thing that made it like, wait, this is something versus just like someone that raps in the world.
Right, because I mean, for me, like I said, from the outside perspective, I'm the consumer in this case. Like, I saw that and I went, this is someone to look out for. And even at the time, I was doing this shit called Knock Steady back then, and I was like, I think I might have tried to find you to get on the show, because I was like, oh, this kid's gonna be lit. And it's like way early, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've been following and watching, like to me it was actually surprising when you guys got signed to XL. I was like, huh, I wonder why he's going the group route instead of solo, because when I saw it back then, I was like, oh, he's already ready, you know what I mean? Like, he's already ready. It's how
I'm happy though that it went like that.
Yeah.
Because it was like, that was like, I mean, the way it happened was Rat King was something before the solo Wiki project, but it was like, then me and Eric kind of like, we're not split up, we just like kind of, I was in school, you know, he was working and shit, so we did our own thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, then like my writing level got up.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I was like, I have these bar, I was like, I have mad writtens.
No, yeah, you,
I was
you
like,
barred out on that Wiki Speaks video.
Yeah,
that
was
the
like,
thing. I was like, bars.
I need a producer, like I need, like, please. And I like rap for him, and he was like, oh, hell yeah. He was like, come through it. And so at first he was like, all right, I'm gonna make beats for the Wiki shit. And then it like slowly but surely, his take on getting iller and shit, starting to, you know what I mean, more real. It's like, yo, this is like us as a group again. This is Rat King. This is what we were been doing. You know what
I
mean?
Right, right.
So then it came kind of out of that.
Yeah.
And then XO was mad real for that, but I just think it helped me grow, like touring and like, all, now I can fucking come out and I'm seasoned. You see me? Like,
right.
I've been with a group. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel ready now. Like then I wasn't really confident enough, I don't think.
Well,
I needed my team. I needed everyone around me.
I mean,
me,
yeah,
you know?
Even
on stage, I needed sport. I needed them. You know what I mean?
But even just like sociologically or like age wise, like an 18-year-old kid is not ready. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
and
you
that's
ain't
why
ready.
I'm happy now. I'm 22 and I've been to Europe many times.
So
I've been
in the
world. Now I can take a step back. I know what I'm not going to fucking freak. You know what I'm saying?
You put your skin in the game and you figured a little bit out, and of course you're going to remain growing, but it's
exactly.
like
no,
now
sure.
at least you know what to expect.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just a little seasoned. I ain't a seasoned vet. I'm just saying I'm a little seasoned.
Right.
Versus just first rap tour, and it's like, you know what I mean? I'm happy to come from more of that live element and all that. Because now it's like, it's more like, all right, I got this. You know what I mean?
Right. So what? Who reaches out from XL? Like, how does that take place initially?
Go
ahead.
Backtrack right quick. The Wiki Speaks video is really thanks. The reason, because that video is tight, and the reason is because of my homie Eric Yu, who when I was in high school, I was in like a student film of his, and he was at NYU, and he's a mad ill director, and he has this whole team around him, and of course he was like, we were tight. He's from Queens and shit, so he's from New York too. So it was like, that was a certain connection there. It wasn't just some random kid that went to NYU, you know? So it was like, there was that, and then...
Because that was one thing that really shined through in that video was, like, it was New York as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watching it in Los Angeles, I went, damn, this shit is... It felt like watching Kids for the first time or something.
Yeah,
you feel me? Like,
see, just that
this
vibe,
feels real New York.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
So he... Yeah, and exactly. He captured that. And, like, he was like, oh, if you ever need a video, like... Because I was just doing a student film, like, whatever. He was like, if you ever need me to direct a video, like, he knew I rap back then.
Yeah, he's like, then I got you.
Yeah. And so we hit him up, and he did the Canal video also. He did a bunch of videos for us. So Sick Stories. But so then I hit him up, and he was like, "Oh yeah, of course we're down." And then like he has an ill team behind him, and they all support each other. So that was like a blessing that he helped us out with that, because we could have done a video on our own, but it wouldn't have been it's like the video, you know, it's like it's about the bars, I think, but the video let them see it.
It all came together to tell the correct story for that moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
that's the video.
Did that video start to take off immediately?
I think it took some time. I think then, like, I remember, like, Creative Control put it up on their thing. And then it kind of got more, and then more people started putting it up. Yeah. I think they were the first to put it. But then, then that's the reason, I think, though, then like, XL hit me up, because probably from seeing that. But, yeah.
And so
this dude, Jamie James, he hit me up on Facebook, and he was like, "Yo, I work for, A&R.
That's right.
At XL Recordings." And
did you know what XL was?
I didn't. And I asked Eric, who is mad up on that shit and mad up on, like,
I mean, that's like very.
I know. And I'm just like, I'm like, X. And I was like, XL Recordings, and it was another label. I got two Facebook messages, and I was like,
no shit.
It was some other like indie, like New York label, but I was like, and I was like, showed him to Eric, and Eric was like, "Yo, XL."
I mean, XL is like super prestigious. Yeah. Like, to be on, I mean, dude, they were like Adele's first record label and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So like, that's like a big deal.
So I was like, "Oh shit, this is tight."
Yeah.
And then we met with the guy Jamie James, and he was mad chill to us.
And it was in New York, or are they based? They're based out of London.
They're based out of London, but they have an office in New York.
Yeah.
And then we signed, and then we went to London. They brought us out to London. Oh, wow. We got to record out there.
That's
where we met Ken Krul and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like meeting him and meeting him is one thing, and that's like the homie, and he's an amazing musician forever. But him and his whole team too, because that just united us as a team. You
really?
Know? Like,
yeah.
Like. Him and all his friends, you know, like those are the dudes now still like producing for me, and like
that's cool to hear, man. Because you look at someone like him, and they do a good job of portraying him as like the one, you know what I mean? But like it's great to hear that he has like a solid team behind him,
dude, totally.
Because I think a lot of people don't realize like everything that goes into it. Like even though you got one homie that's like a fucking star, like King Krul, it's like you have to have the whole support group behind you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not necessarily like King Krul. I mean, yeah, he can make music in his room dolo and make the most brilliant shit, of course, but it's like that support system, not even on the music level. It's like the friends, the like, and he works with a lot of his other friends too on music. I'm just saying,
it's good to have that friend base that like if you can find the friends that are like willing to support your talents and like use their talents to push your talents, that's like gonna be the most comfortable and worthwhile relationship, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's cool, man. How is it as a fucking youngster flying out overseas and everything? Is that your first time like traveling and shit?
I traveled in the past, but I'd been to London once before when I was really young.
Yeah, how was it as an adult then?
But so it was when I was really young, you know. But yeah, being there on my own, not with like, you know what I mean. I was like, oh, this shit is crazy. You know what's funny? It's actually my brother was in the choir.
Yeah.
And the reason I was in England when I was a kid is because my brother, they were in a big choir, like a
national competition choir.
It wasn't a competition. They were doing a tour of like. Yeah. To churches and cathedrals.
Oh, that's sick.
In the UK. And so I came along.
Yeah. The music brought
my
you there
brother,
twice.
Even though my brother wasn't so into music, like, the biggest, but he had a good voice. I was in the choir too. I quit though after 2 years or a year or something.
Really?
I couldn't do that shit.
Why not?
So Matt, like, yo, it's a big cathedral. Like, I'm saying, if you're in that choir, my school, the middle school I went to, that was a old school in New York, a old choir school. Like, it used to be it's not like that anymore at all, but they still got the choir and tryouts for that.
Yeah.
It used to be like, if you were in it, you were like in the choir, all boys, like all that shit. Now it's like, it was co-ed when I came up, but like, yeah, you have to, every Sunday, Christmas, you're there. Christmas, midnight mass, you're there singing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like a real job, and you're like a kid. I'm like, I can't do this
shit. Very strenuous.
Yeah,
right. Okay. But your brother was into it, huh?
Well, he was into it till his voice, he lost his voice. His voice, they'll kick you out.
His voice changed.
Your voice changed.
Once you got a man voice, you're done.
You're outie. And they're not even, it's crazy. They don't even teach you how to be, because the kids are the Sopranos.
Yeah.
And then they have all the other things. They hire people.
Oh.
Well, I think maybe some people volunteer and shit.
Right.
It's a church. but they're like adult, like professional singers. Yeah. But then the kids, they're just like
the high voices.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
But
man,
the choir went really downhill in my years when right. I was when my brother was in it. That was like one of the heights. Like
right.
they had it was a big choir, right. a lot of. Then it got it diminished.
Here's a question for you.
No, it's fine.
I like it. I find it interesting that music in a roundabout way brought you to London both times. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like once the murmurs of XL get around, I'm sure like the indie music industry hears about XL courting you. So like, did the labels come in droves then? Of like, oh well, maybe we should try to get at him too. And like, how did you decide that XL was the right home?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like we might have talked with certain other labels, but I think it was just like XL to wait. They were one like very supportive of the Rat King thing.
Yeah.
So we were like, you wouldn't expect it. It's like, that's what they see. Wiki speaks. Because
they
Wiki.
Saw Wiki, and then Wiki comes and goes, oh, I'm actually doing this thing, Rat
yeah,
King.
So
and you feel like maybe there might be backlash.
Yeah, yeah. So, but they were like, And yeah, I had like an experience with someone else who was just like, that's the stupidest thing ever. Like, don't do that. So like, this dude who wasn't that lit was saying this to me. And then this real label was like, oh, Rat King, we like this. This is dope. And like, XL knew they wanted to, but they were like, all right, we're going to feel this, let this rot. We're going to support this and build this up.
Because historically, like, rap groups are tough, you know what I mean? And they are a lot of times historically they end badly. So like on paper, I could see why somebody would be like, yo, that's not the smartest thing. But that's dope that they were like willing to fucking put that out there, like take that risk and trust.
I think it's because they were like kind of more of an most of the people are bands probably that they.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the time that they had signed, so it's like they kind of got behind that, and then they were just like supportive and like seemed like genuine. You know what I mean?
It seemed like family kind of.
Yeah, and when you looked it up, you were like, "Wow, this is mad legit." But then when you were around, they didn't strike you as like douchebag.
Like it didn't feel
dudes.
Snobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because like, that's the one thing is like XL, I almost feel like they're so prestigious and they're so
like
fucking,
that.
They're so good at curating, and they always pick like these artists that are like the peak cool. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's the
thing. They're like the peak cool that I would think in my head like, ooh, I would be scared that they would be snobby. You know what I mean?
But they weren't.
That's cool.
Nah.
That's
they're
real cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. So how's the experience been for the last few years, man? Doing Rat King and traveling around with your friends? Has it been?
It's been great. It's been really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just we've got to see a lot of places, you know, and play a lot.
Yeah.
Places gain our like fan base up. It's cool to like go back to places, and then now it's a bigger crowd and shit, and more people know your stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's a weird market for you guys where you wouldn't expect to have such a big following, but you do? There's always some weird town.
I'm trying to think. Cause I was gonna say it's not even weird. I'm trying to think because there definitely is.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people know about this, but Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis.
That's the hip hop shit.
They love hip hop music.
So it's like, but like at the time I'm going through the Midwest, I'm like, all right, show. And then we get there, and every time it's like turns the fuck up.
Insane,
so it's like,
huh?
That's one that I was like, oh, that's weird. All right, cool. Like, that makes. I was like, that's lit.
Like I feel like random towns like El Paso are like that sometimes.
Yeah,
like, where it's just
like,
you know, you're in this small town, you wouldn't think anything, and then like the show's just so fucking cracking there.
Because it's like that's what they got.
There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, sure.
Man. How many projects have you guys put out as Rat King? Two or three?
Oh, we put out two. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we put out, there was Wiki 9. There was the original Wiki 93.
Yeah.
That then we had to we like re put out, and it was, like this is something that was like it's kind of annoying to do, but like we had to like because of the samples and everything, we had to like redo all this shit.
Yeah.
And then we put that out as like Rat King, and we kind of like added to it. But the real, I think, first that was like that was a good like learning experience, all recording some new shit together. But then So It Goes was like. That was like the first debut. That was an EP before. So yeah, album wise, it was So It Goes, and then we put out the free one, 700
Oh, wait, So It Goes. Is that that's a Kurt Vonnegut reference, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I went through like a big Kurt Vonnegut phase as a youngster.
Five is like my favorite book.
Right, right. I remember seeing that and going like, oh yeah, he's reading Kurt Vonnegut too.
Yeah,
I have like a similar one. I have It Goes On tattoo. Yeah, that's Robert Frost. Have you ever heard that?
I think I have.
He says everything I've learned about life can be summarized in three words. It goes on, and Robert Frost and or like that quote always reminds me of Kurt Vonnegut as well.
Yeah, totally.
No,
for sure.
That's cool. So what are you working on now? You're working on more racking stuff or more solo stuff? Like how's that going? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. We have a Rat King tour.
Yeah.
Coming up with Animal Collective.
Oh, sick.
Which is like something that's like, and then I think after that I'm gonna be touring solo more for a little bit.
Yeah.
But well, I think it's a really good like tour because it's like. That was one of our big influences early on.
Right.
Not necessarily like Animal Collective. I like Animal Collective a lot, but not necessarily more on sports side. Sport was mad. Like that was always like
you could see that in his
but
beats.
That's a good thing because it was always like we got to be. It was like Suicide meets Dipset or like Animal Collective meets like Wu-Tang. Like that was the early rack, and that's why racking I think was like a tight thing.
Now that you say that, you could totally see it.
Yeah. So it's like. So that it's lit, and I think it doesn't like take away from that. Because I was worried, like, I just put out the little me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to like tour this shit.
Yeah.
But it's like Animal Collective. It connects the Rat King in that way. It's like a good tour to like do that. And then I'm doing a tour with Antoine, me and Antoine.
Oh, cool.
A solo tour.
Yeah, shout out to Antoine.
Of course, that's the dog. But yeah, I'm working on a new record now. Like basically, what happened was I was working on Little Me. And I thought part of it was going to be for my XL album and part of it was going to be for my own.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to put out a free project first so people could be like, all right, this is...
What to expect.
Yeah, this is Wiki now.
Like, yeah.
It's not Rat King. This is Wiki. Now I'm going to put... You know what I mean? Like, let people get a taste of it before it's the proper executive
dip your toes in the water, kind of, you know?
Yeah, totally. So... But then I was like, dude, all these songs are like, they're now. This is how I'm feeling now. Like, this is me now. Like... I need to put all these shits out. And that's why I ended up being like 17 tracks or whatever. It's just like, I got to put this out. I'm like down to be creative. I'm down to get in the zone. I might have a week where I'm off or 3 weeks where I'm off. But like, I'm going to work if I have to, you know? So I was like, I'm excited to like then make this. I was like, I broke it down to XL. I was like, look, I'm going to put this out free. But listen, I'm going to, you hear this. I played it for him. Like, you hear it. I'm like, listen, this. I want to make something. This is like my mixtape.
Yeah.
This is all my homies are on it. I got the beats from all the homies. It's like, but I want to put out for the XL album, I want to like hone in. I want to make it, not 17 tracks.
Make
I
want
to make it like shorter. I want to make it exactly what it needs to be. No extra fat. You know what I mean? So with that, I think they like had confidence in that. So now I've started working on that.
What's a Wiki solo going to sound like? Like who is going to, are you going to reach out to multiple producers? Or are you going to, work with one producer? Like, what do you think?
This is all like that's what like where is I've been writing so I have that and that's an important a mad important piece
but
besides that and coming up with ideas and things like that but besides that that's what kind of since the Lil Me shit just came out that's what we're trying to figure out a
the deciding bit. You're
trying
deciding
to figure out who we want to put a team together you see what I mean like we don't want it to just be some like boom 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 like not that we won't get beats from other people we want it but if we get beats we want them to come and work with us on it you know if we hear something nice we want them to come in with us but we're trying to figure
it out. Well, let's talk about like your brain trust a little bit before we get out of here like so as you're embarking on this next journey of putting out like your real like this real solo record that you want to be a cohesive album who's going to be in your brain trust telling you like hey man maybe you should reel it in a little here or maybe you should get a little looser there you know what I mean like who's going to be on your team talking or like while you're going through that
I think I have a good I got my homie Matt off top it's like who I started working who manages me and shit
shout out Matt he's sitting
off
over
top
there.
But like yo that's like the homie like you know what I mean like he likes to play the background and shit but that's like so much of everything in the past couple months has been because like and he'll be and that's what I'm saying he'll be like nah, that's not lit, or that's lit, or like you know what I mean.
It's just
like real, like natural, like oh, going along with like.
So you trust his taste,
yeah.
Not only as a manager of like somebody
and handling
shit for you, but also like you trust his fucking creative direction.
Totally,
yeah.
But then also, then I have a good like. It's good, even people that don't know about music, like my homie Adam, like who I live with, like he's really, he could be critical and he could be barely like. upfront and not like care about like not like he's not in a dick way. He'll just right. he'll say if he, he'll right. be like, I don't he'll be like I think that's too this.
You know, yeah, he's
like,
blunt.
And I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to work. I'm still working, but that's helpful because it like, pushes you to try to make it more next or make it. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, it's important to get the opinion of people who aren't in the music industry. It's almost like
exactly they, you're gonna you're like yeah, all right,
you're the consumer.
Totally. Yeah. You're right. That's a mad good point because.
Well, it's like they tell you
it's
when
like you could say, oh, you don't know, but you don't really know.
Yeah,
but
right.
it's like, I don't give a fuck if I know. Right. I'm the one who's going to buy it.
Like, right, exactly, you know what I mean? Exactly. It's like they tell you when you're mastering an album, yeah, you got to listen to it through the most ill, like, fucking monitors, but then you got to put it on a TV. You got to play it through your fucking iPhone speakers. Right, exactly. So it's got to sound good and all that shit. So that's the same thing. It's like, yeah, maybe an A&R professional needs to like it, but also your homie that fucking hates rap music needs to like it too.
yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean?
For sure.
So, yeah.
But like, yeah, and then sporting life too. That's like lastly, like always will be upfront and always will be like help me and help me if I need if I need you know what I mean, and that extra push like I feel like it's like Matt, he can help me a lot with like with taste and like because he grew up on hip hop, he knows with taste and with like the whole like aesthetic and the whole every all the eye because there's so much that goes into it all that. Then Adam like is kind of more the like regular consumer,
right? Right.
And then sport can be the actually on the musical level,
right? Like this
like
makes
really
sense
specific
or this doesn't.
Music,
yeah.
Like, yo, this like needs to knock harder, like,
right? This,
that needs
this
to like
snare needs to be up two
exactly.
dBs.
Like, so like, go, like you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's
that's
like
a good
mix.
Balance. That's
for
a good
sure,
balance
for sure.
So man, you know, you're a young dude and shit started working out for you real early. Like, what did you? What do your parents think about it?
My parents are like for. The first like year and a half or 2 years, they were like, or like year and a half, they were like, oh, my dad was like, oh, you're gonna go back to school, right? Like you're gonna go to school, right?
To college,
to college, not go back, just go in general, whatever. But like, then eventually they knew, they were like, yo, and then they like he was more just like, I don't know, now they know it's like because it's been enough of like a gone up, like you know what I mean.
It's been
not
steadily
like, oh, like,
increasing.
Whether it's slow, how slow it is,
yeah.
They see it's like, oh, you could be in college, like spending all this bread to slowly be doing the same. Like,
yeah,
we're increasing, so it'll get better. You
and
know?
Realistically, what you're doing now will only lead to more things in the future.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
feel me? Like, this is college for you.
Exactly.
You're in college right now.
Totally.
And whether or not the music stays cracking, by the time it's no longer cracking, you'll be able to work on the label side or something because you'll have experience doing all that shit. You know?
I know. No, for sure. So. I think they know that, and they also then realize like, yo, we always knew this kid was gonna be a fucking performer.
Yeah.
Like this is it. This is lit. Yeah. Like, and so then they're proud, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
it was your destiny, man, and they see that.
Fuck with that. But yo, the hardest shit is what the New Yorker shit. Once I was in the New Yorker, then I was like, my mom. I was like Dan, but my mom is like, you know, she's like,
yeah,
she always got the New Yorker. So
yeah.
That's the type of shit. And that's the really. I'm like, yo. As long as the New York publications fuck with me, like not as long as, but like that's like a nice like at home,
right?
Like my shit's gonna get in the Times. All right, cool. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I can live with that. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right. That's cool, man. That's great. I'm glad things are working out for you, man. This is a cool conversation.
Dude,
so
great conversation,
look,
man. Thank you.
If you're listening today, we're releasing it on a Wednesday, so you guys will be able to see him tonight at Low End Theory.
Ah, gotcha.
So that's what we'll plug. We'll do your plug right now. Go catch Wiki at Low End Theory tonight in Los Angeles. And if you are not in Los Angeles, you can find Wiki on the internet all over the place at Wikiset, right?
Wickset,
my bad.
All good.
W-I-K... Oh, Wickset, Dipset. Why did I never put that together? I'm so stupid. W-I-K-S-E-T. Right on
shout
Twitter.
Shout out Dipset. Shout out Cam.
Where else? Where should people look for you? Like YouTube,
Rat
King.
It's
whatever.
All Wix. Rat King and then Wixit.
Yeah, there
if
you go.
You want to check out the band? It's Rat King.
Yeah.
Any of the solo shit, it's Wixit, but it's all connected. You know,
where can
it's,
they
it's
find?
Like, it's like Woo to Meth. You know
there,
I mean?
There you go. We form like Voltron.
Exactly.
Where can they find Lil Me at?
You can find that on my. Oh shit! What should I say? My SoundCloud.
Yeah, is
but
it? On-
also, it's on BitTorrent. There's an. All right, my. I got you. I'm gonna get you to it.
Do it.
You could go to my SoundCloud if you want to hear it, which is SoundCloud/Wixset or whatever you do the SoundCloud thing. Then, if you want to just download it, you can go to Wixset.nyc.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to get the deluxe edition. You could go to BitTorrent bundles.
Okay.
And that, they have like a whole, I have all the lyrics written out.
Oh, sick.
There's like a video that comes with it. There's a bonus track on it that I released, but that, nice. you get the download.
So you probably just Google
it's all free. All of that's free.
Google like everything's Wiki, free. So it's not like BitTorrent box set and you'll find that shit.
Yeah, go to BitTorrent.com and just look it up. It'll be there.
Cool, man. Well, fuck. I hope you guys go out and see him in LA tonight, and look for Lil Me. Look for the future projects coming out on XL. Look for more Rat King on tour with Animal Collective. That'll be amazing. And other than that, I think we've done it. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can find me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Find my man Ben Shin behind the boards making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, based with two S's, and you can follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/KindaNeat, and subscribe to us. Download that podcast app, search for Kinda Neat, subscribe. Rest in peace, Cadillac Ron. And with that being said, this is Wiki. My name is Lee, and this was Kinda Neat.